Circumstances had made Gregorius rich beyond all calculation. He owned fleets and palaces, stallions, cities. Indeed, he owned so much that to those who were finally charged with enumerating his possessions, when the events of this story reached their monstrous conclusion, it sometimes seemed it might be quicker to list the items Gregorius did not own. Rich he was, but far from happy. He had been raised a Catholic, and in his early years, before his dizzying rise to fortune, he'd found succour in his faith. But he'd neglected it, and it was only at the age of 55, with the world at his feet, that he woke one night and found himself godless. It was a bitter blow, but he immediately took steps to make good his loss. He went to Rome and spoke with the Supreme Pontiff. He prayed night and day. He founded seminaries and leper colonies. God, however, declined to show so much as his toenail. Gregorius, it seemed, was forsaken. Almost despairing, he took it into his head that he could only win his way back into the arms of his Maker if he put his soul into the direst jeopardy. The notion had some merit. Suppose, he thought, I could contrive a meeting with Satan, the arch-fiend. Seeing me in extremis, would not God be obliged to step in and deliver me back into the fold? It was a fine plot, but how was he to realize it? The devil did not just come at a call, even for a tycoon such as Gregorius, and his researches soon proved that all the traditional methods of summoning the Lord of Vermin, the defiling of the Blessed Sacrament, the sacrificing of babes, were no more effective than his good works had been at provoking Yahweh. It was only after a year of deliberation that he finally fell upon his master plan. He would arrange to have built a hell on earth, a modern inferno, so monstrous that the tempter would be tempted and come to roost there like a cuckoo in a usurped nest.